Sun on the Strip, and I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news and fun this week from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. I am pretty exhausted right now, I have to admit, from a really big weekend. There's just a lot going on in Vegas right now, and I want to talk about everything I did and everything I saw over the weekend. But first, we need to talk about what's going to happen this coming weekend, because it's even bigger. And here to help me do that today is Jason Latham, a Vegas writer who covers a lot of different stuff, has been writing about nightlife for Las Vegas Weekly recently. But you do all kinds of things. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
You're tired.
How long have you been in Vegas now?
Yeah. 2001 is when I moved to Las Vegas. So that's almost 17 years, discount 2 years that I spent in Seattle, San Diego. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you write for various publications right now. You're all over the place. People are probably used to seeing your name.
A little bit, yeah. Vegas Magazine. You'll see my byline, as you mentioned, popped up in Las Vegas Weekly a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. Various writing for other publications.
You're kind of like me. There's not like one thing that you kind of focus on more than others, is there?
Not really. It's all Las Vegas. And a lot of it is entertainment and culture, which is what we have, a lot of that here. But yeah, write about a lot of different topics.
Well, one of the most recent pieces that you did for Las Vegas Weekly was about Chaos, the huge nightclub and day club that opens this weekend at the Palms. Definitely one of the most talked about projects, I think.
I would say so, yeah.
In Las Vegas in the last few years. And also, I wasn't even thinking about it this way until today, but clubs have really become... Clubs and hotels are kind of the same. We've had a lot of spaces being renovated into new things, mm-hmm. but we haven't really had a completely new mega club in quite some time. Wynn redid their club and turned it into Intrigue a few years ago. Hakkasan Group turned the club at Aria into Jewel around that same time, but and then, of course, we had On the Record opening at the end of the year at Park MGM, which I think is definitely a new... That space wasn't a nightclub before. They kind of carved it out of nothingness.
No, and it was a fresh concept when it debuted. And it's but relatively small compared to what we're going to get at Chaos. Mm-hmm. If you have read about it or if you've driven by the Palms and seen it, you'll see the nightclub and the day club under construction for months now. It is going to be the big re-entry for the Palms into the nightlife scene. I know they opened Apex last year where Ghost Bar was, but this is in the spot where Rain used to be, and it's going to be much bigger than Rain. But we haven't had Rain in a long time. This is Palms kind of coming back fully. I feel like they started to come back last year, but it wasn't all put together, and we've talked a lot about the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars they poured into the property, but this is... This is their big weekend coming up.
Yeah, and I think what, at this early stage, what differentiates Chaos from other clubs and from the other things that have happened at the Palm so far is that the grand scale of entertainment that they're planning to have there, not just a really huge DJ roster, which every mega club needs, of course, to mm-hmm. compete in the Vegas landscape, but also a lot of other artists who will be performing live, doing concerts or some version of a concert in either the nightclub or the day club space throughout this year. So just looking at the weekend lineup here, the first actual night of business is Thursday, April 4th. Marshmello is going to be playing then. He is one of the biggest EDM acts in the world right now.
Right.
Palms nagged him from Wynn, where he's been the last few years. Friday night is an interesting mix of Travis Scott and Skrillex, both playing the club. Saturday will be the first day of day club operations at Chaos. Marshmello will be back for that. And then Saturday night has Cardi B, G-Eazy, and J Balvin, which is a pretty amazing. Like, any of those three artists could play almost any venue, almost any night in Vegas. So they're all going to be there performing in one night. And then Sunday, wrapping it up Sunday, Cascade and Vice are spinning during the day. And Sunday night we'll have a concert from the Zac Brown Band, which makes a lot of sense considering that Sunday night is the ACM Awards
right.
at MGM Grand Garden Arena. And we'll talk about that Big Country weekend a little bit later. But, I mean, certainly not crazy to have this huge lineup for an opening weekend of a club, but that's really taking things to another level.
It is when you throw in the artists that they have playing at Pearl and a couple of other places. They have Gorgon City at Apex on Saturday night. I kind of rack my brain a little bit to think about, have we had an opening weekend this big ever? I mean, you have to go back to, I would say, the Cosmopolitan opening, that New Year's Eve opening, that classic, still talked about opening with Jay-Z, mm-hmm. Beyonce made an appearance, Coldplay, Kanye West was there, John Mayer was there, and a room full of celebrities. We haven't had something this big since then, and that's almost 10 years.
I'm curious to see how chaos is going to work with the Pearl in terms of these performers, because again, any of these people could probably fill up the Pearl or have a residency at the Pearl or something like that. Do you think there's any worry of like chaos is like too big for the Palms? The Palms is not a huge place relative to, you know, your average strip mega resort.
Right.
Is chaos going to be like too big for the Palms in some way, maybe?
Well, since I haven't been inside, I can't judge the size of the venue, but I think it will come to define the Palms just as the resort's kind of fantasy suites do. There's a lot of different Palmses, if that's a word. I always kind of felt that the
it
Palms...
It is now. Palmses.
Okay, Palmses. you could always split the Palms up between more of its entertainment and visitor section and then the kind of local section, which has always been around the movie theater and the food court and something like this. With Chaos,
right.
I think you have the new restaurants. Scotch 80 is right nearby. The places that they just opened, Vitri up top. The Chaos will complement all these places, and it will be, it's like a grand VIP experience for the people who want to come in. And their goal is to get people in and just keep them there, just like every other resort's goal.
Yeah, Chaos is apparently around 100,000 square feet. That's both the night and day club portions, which apparently, and again, we haven't been in there yet, so we don't know. I know they were having kind of friends and family play dates this week and
right.
this last weekend. Saw big lines going in there for, they're kind of pretending to be a club at this point so that they can get everything working operationally and get the staff trained and all that. But there's going to be some sort of separation between the nightclub and the day club portions. There's going to be a DJ booth that rotates 360 degrees so that whoever is spinning can kind of have access to both audiences. There's going to be some sort of dome configuration, or at least they've reported that there will be, for basically year-round pool parties, which could be a game changer. And there's going to be 40 private cabanas, around 40 private cabanas, on multiple levels. It's a big, big place. And, of course, it's got the largest LED screen in the city, which basically covers the east-facing portion of the Ivory Hotel Tower. And I was, again, out and about this weekend and saw that thing operating somewhat. They were putting some images on it and mm-hmm. probably testing some things out. And that's pretty interesting, too, because you can see that from the Strip. You could be in your hotel room on the Strip, or you could be at Dre's, for example, and kind of look over and see what's happening, sort of.
Well, I mean,
chaos.
That's kind of what I meant by it'll come to define the Palms. They will be able to put bottle presentations up there. They will be able to put live performances up there. They will use this as the biggest billboard in town if they can. And I mean, in terms of its pure height, we're talking about it does go straight up the tower. So you're just sending a signal out to everybody who's driving by or people on the Strip to just come on over here.
It's pretty amazing to think about that. Like, maybe this is the evolution of, you know, we still have the Bellagio Fountains, we still have the Mirage Volcano, we don't have the Treasure Island Pirate Show anymore, but now maybe we'll have giant screens that are flashing whatever is going on inside one of these casinos to lure us in that way instead of volcanoes.
I think it plays into the Palms' overall their marketing model, which is just to make it instantly Instagrammable. That's when you talk about the art program that they've installed there, when you talk about all the new things that they're going to be putting into Chaos. This is just, you know, take your phones out and take a photograph, and that's all the greatest advertising that they need. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's talk about the art program just a little bit, because the Palms also opened a restaurant recently, Green Street Kitchen, that is kind of an essential piece of that art program. This is a restaurant on the casino floor. It's operated by Click Hospitality, which also runs Apex, that you mentioned, as well as Camden Cocktail Club, just off the casino. Mm-hmm. But Green Street Kitchen is a restaurant. It also has kind of it's got a working video arcade in it. It has its own sort of separate pizza counter out front that's open late called Side Piece. And it has an extensive collection of, I guess, street art, for lack of better terminology, including the only permanent piece in Las Vegas by Banksy, which made some news last week. That's a pretty notable thing.
Yeah, that's a big headline grabber for them, to have a Banksy in there, one that doesn't destroy itself once you put it up on the wall. Mm-hmm. Haven't checked out Green Street Kitchen. Very excited about the video game possibility. I just think that more places need that kind of experience, an experience. You can play some video games while you're having dinner.
Yeah, I think the arcade is coming back, says something that I read recently. We'll see if that's actually true or not. Green Street was originally going to be the restaurant Vandal from New York City, which was operated by the Tao Group. So, and that has a similar aesthetic. So it's not surprising to me that this kind of street art, that was probably always going to be part of that, is what I'm saying. That art collection was always going into this space. Mm-hmm. They just found a different operator and a different version of that kind of restaurant. But I haven't been to Green Street yet either. I bet it's really good food-wise, because the chefs behind that are Lanny Chin, who's cooked all over town. And I just did an interview with and wrote a story about that you can read at LasVegasSun.com. And Joseph Zanelli, who used to work for the Elizabeth Blau Group. So I bet that food is good, and I want to go try that pizza also. Bobby Flay's restaurant, Shark, is going to open at the Palms very soon as well. Another huge thing that's happening this weekend is Aerosmith. Aerosmith is opening its residency at Park Theater on Saturday, April 6th. Aerosmith has got 35 shows on the calendar right now. Throughout the year at Park MGM, their first 18 for the spring and summer sold out, so they announced an additional 17 dates that'll keep the band here September through December, which makes it more of an actual residency, I think. That's the right amount of shows to be playing if you're going to be a Vegas resident.
Five shows does not count?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think this is a big deal because, I mean, that's a great name. Obviously, everyone knows this music, so I think, and obviously it's sold very well. It's a really good move for Vegas, but I think it's important because it's a band and not just a single artist, so we're kind of continuing to expand on this residency roster and the kinds of acts that we could have for these kinds of shows.
And this is one of the biggest ones that Park Theater could get. And when they signed Lady Gaga, and that was, oh gosh, year and a half ago, maybe, that I thought at the time was just running up the score on a competition. But then they just continued to add. And with Aerosmith, they're trying to create an experience about it. I did a piece for Vegas Magazine where I spoke to the manager for the band and the show producer, and they just kind of described what the process was of getting Joe Perry and Steven Tyler on board to do something like this, and what they wanted to incorporate into the show. And a lot of it, they said that they dug through archival recording footage to create a visual aspect, and they're putting in some of the most powerful, you know, audio, video equipment imaginable to bring this thing to life. All across the room, 100 points of surround sound is the way that it was described to me. I mean, I've never seen Aerosmith. I've seen Steven Tyler. He came and did Venetian a couple of years ago. It's a fantastic show and did a lot of Aerosmith songs. This, to me, is one of the biggest gets that you could put on your residency roster.
It's kind of crazy to think about who the residents are in this one room. Aerosmith and Lady Gaga, Bruno Mars and Janet Jackson, and Cher. Mm-hmm. That might be like the best. It certainly kind of reminds me of, you know, in the modern era when the Coliseum really got it going, there was Celine first, of course, but then they brought Elton John in. Mm-hmm. And then other kind of more legacy acts followed, and then we got Planet Hollywood, and that took things in a different direction with Britney and everybody who's been over there. But, like, just name recognition-wise, I don't know if there's been a single room ever in Vegas.
This quickly.
To compete. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only a few years old.
Yeah. I know. It's insane, but it's good for them. And it's good for us. It's huge for Vegas. Mm-hmm. I mean, to have an Aerosmith residency where people... I might be kind of over... I don't think I'm overselling it, but I'm a very big Aerosmith fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up in the 90s, and Aerosmith was big in the 90s. The 70s, in general, were big in the 90s.
Yeah.
But, you know, I grew up listening to a lot of Aerosmith. And, you know, to hear it all live now...
I saw Aerosmith once during my college years. This was in Reno, Nevada. So I was in college. It was about 100 years ago. And it was the worst seat in the building. It was in Lawler Event Center, which is where the Nevada basketball team plays. And it was way up in the back. I was almost in the back row. And it was great. It was awesome. It was a great show.
You know, for Park Theater, they're doing for the setup of the stage setup in the audience, they have an unusual thing to it. They have standing room only on the floor, which you don't usually get in these residence shows because you've got a big theater of seats. But, you know, a standing room. I mean, and those tickets, they're mostly sold out. They cost a fortune, but would it be worth it? Mm-hmm.
Would be fun. And that it's exciting, too, what you said from writing that story, that they're kind of going the extra mile because... I think it's easy to assume, and maybe some residents have done this in the past, that I'm just going to come into Vegas and just do my show. But that's not what's happening now. Everybody is developing new content for these shows and, like, kind of recrafting their show to really create a special experience for Las Vegas for the Strip, because they know that they need to bring their fans in from all over the world. Mm. And Aerosmith is no different, and they're going all out, and it's going to be really exciting. Also opening this weekend, a little bit different style of act. Dionne Warwick is back on the Strip at Bally's in the Jubilee Theater. She hasn't played the Strip in like 7 or 8 years. She's been away for a little bit, but she's back now and excited to be back. I got the chance to talk to her this week and just put my story up at LasVegasSun.com. So go check that out. She's got a new album coming out soon, and she's also getting a big Lifetime Achievement Award later this year. So
I looked into that, the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
They take their time. It's 2019. You got Dionne Warwick going.
Right.
I went to look at it. The Beatles. You know the Beatles. They're a very, very famous
band. I think I've heard of them.
Yeah. 2014. Mm. After Paul McCartney. Years earlier. So... I just find it funny. It's like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions. You know, it always seems to take time to get the greatest artists of all time in there.
Yeah, yeah. Janet Jackson was just inducted this year into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's pretty awesome. Good timing. Okay, so that's this weekend. Let's talk about last weekend so that I can feel tired all over again. So I started my weekend Saturday night at the grand opening party of the Vanderpump Cocktail Garden at Caesar's Palace, which was, considering that is not the largest venue, it was a pretty big party. The place was packed. There was people all over the casino trying to get a glimpse of the celebrities and reality TV folks that were going down the carpet. I actually am very familiar with these people. I do watch Vanderpump Rules. I sometimes watch the Real Housewives show that Lisa Vanderpump is on. Thanks to my wife's bad TV viewing habits. I will blame that on her. But, it was a fun time. All the Caesars executives were there, and it seems like a good fit for that space. So if you don't know where this is, it used to be called Fizz. It's a smaller, more intimate little bar, kind of between where the Coliseum is and where the entrance to the Forum Shops is. And when it was Fizz, it was actually something of a partnership with Elton John. Him and his partner, David Furnish, kind of co-owned it and kind of designed it a little bit. And it had a similar sort of feel to it, like a swanky Hollywood hangout. But I don't think it ever really became a super popular venue across Caesar's Palace. I wonder now that there is, you know, the Vanderpump name on it, which is obviously a well-known name, if it will turn into kind of that pre- and post-Coliseum show hangout that it was probably always meant to be.
How close is it to the entrance to the gift shop of the Coliseum?
It's like the next space over.
They could just knock the wall down. Exit through the gift shop.
I think there's actually an exit. There's like emergency exit doors between there. And then there's a little bit of space, but not much.
Well, you know, Caesars has a history with this. You know, they opened Gordon Ramsay's on the Strip. They got a big reality TV star. I mean, he's also a, you know, very famous chef. And that draws a lot of eyes to that part of the Strip. I mean, inside here, I think they could do the same thing. And you mentioned the show. I don't watch the show, but I know there's an after show. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a great opportunity to do a show there, to do an after show there, to move the after show there.
Yeah.
And every weekend you may see your favorite reality television personality coming through.
Oh, there are definitely going to be a lot of filming at this little place. I'm sure of it. Who knows? Maybe they'll create a whole new crazy Vanderpump Vegas show. And objectify the staff of that venue as well as they have on the other show.
Is that how it works on those shows?
Sort of.
Did you
sort
have?
I mean that with affection.
Did you have a cocktail there? Did they have a?
I had some rosé, and I had a whiskey cocktail. But you know, when you go to a thing like that, and everyone's walking around with trays of cocktails that they've already mixed, that's not the best way to. I'm a big cocktail guy, and I would never evaluate a place's program based on a half-melted whatever that was that I drank. So I will return to Vanderpump Cocktail Garden and for a proper sampling at some point. Mm. That was my Saturday. Sunday night, I was back on the Strip next door at Bellagio to watch the debut of the Game of Thrones fountain show, which was pretty insane, I have to say. I wrote about it in my Weekend Rewind column, and you know, they've done a lot of different kind of funny little shows at the fountain show,
right?
People performing Britney Spears and stuff like that.
Random people jumping in, yeah.
And they've done other shows like this where they are projecting imagery of some sort onto this, you know, kind of making a screen out of the water and projecting imagery. And some of that stuff has not really worked out as well and been a little bit underwhelming, I think, or at least that's what I've heard. This is the first time that I've seen them do something like this live in person. It was pretty impressive. The composer of the show had helped create kind of an extended version of the show's theme song, mm-hmm. to kind of lead into this particular presentation. And he was out there Sunday night, and there was a big crowd, and there was a lot of people that were anxious to see it. They didn't really announce that it was happening. They just kind of blasted some stuff out on social media. Mm-hmm. And you have a couple more weeks to go see it, because it will continue twice nightly at 8 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. through April 13th, since the premiere of the final season of Game of Thrones on HBO is April 14th.
I mean, you can't imagine that it'll go permanently after that. I mean,
that's it. April 13th is the last show. They're never going to do it again. At least that's what I was told.
Well, they get the photo ops in there with them, your favorite people.
It's pretty cool. There was a lot of dragon action, and a little bit of Night King, and some fire. There's actual fire on the lake.
On the water?
Yeah.
Smoke on the water.
So that was cool.
Are you a Game of Thrones person?
Yes. Yes.
Were you able to recognize all the little parts of the show that they were putting up there?
I think most of them, yeah. Yeah, some of them were a little bit more subtle. There was like a point where the fountains kind of formed the shape of a crown. Mm-hmm. I didn't really pick up on that until I watched it later on.
Would you say that the railing right there on the lake is the best vantage point? You know, there are other places to see that show if you're, mm-hmm. at High Bellagio, the nightclub, or if you're at Spago.
Yeah. No, yeah, I would definitely want to be on the strip,
okay,
on the actual sidewalk to make the most of this experience. That's my recommendation. I'm also tired because Monday night I went to the 8-year anniversary party for Absinthe at Caesar's Palace, and it was also the, I guess they called it the world debut of the Absinthe Electric Oak, which is this pretty cool LED leaf tree out in front of the courtyard there. That was a fun time. I don't have too much to say about that, but I will say that one of my shoes exploded.
Like Zion Williamson?
Kind of, yeah.
Was it a Nike?
I got up in the middle of the show to use the restroom and get a glass of wine, and I was wearing these kind of old loafers, and when I walked out, I realized that the sole of one of my shoes was kind of dragging, and so I didn't know what to do. It was really weird. I ended up going inside to Caesars, buying some flip-flops.
Really?
And wearing flip-flops back into the show, which was not... I was uncomfortable doing that. I know it's Las Vegas, so you can get away with doing that kind of thing, but I don't like to do that.
Yeah, you don't want to do that at a show. It's, yeah. Yeah. No ghost.
Fortunately, the gazillionaire did not notice my footwear or make fun of me or do anything like that.
Is he known to make fun of people in the audience? I've been to a couple of...
He is. He's known to do that.
Yeah. Eight years.
In an extravagant way. Yeah, that's the Absinthe news, or that's all that we're going to do anyways. We did get a good news update this week about the Hard Rock. Hard Rock Hotel, of course, in the midst of planning to become Virgin Hotel Las Vegas. And up until now, there was a lot of speculation, that it would be closing sometime this summer or this fall, or at least portions of the resort would be closing in order to do these pretty wholesale renovations. That's not the case. They're going to stay open and keep things as it is until into 2020. So, and they specifically named the Super Bowl as the date, which I thought was a little bit funny. Here's a quote from Richard Bosworth, who is the CEO of the property right now. He says, "The property's project deadlines were fluid and the scope of the project continued to expand. Based on the additional improvements that we have identified, the deadline to begin work has shifted to early 2020. Significant construction activities remain 10 months away and the property will remain open for business without any disruptions to our guests and team members through Super Bowl 2020, which is February 2nd, I believe."
Mm-hmm. One unquote. Last big party.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that makes sense if you want to take advantage of the big things that happen in Las Vegas in January, namely CES and in Super Bowl. That's always a big weekend.
Well, they also host AVN and the awards show right around those times.
Right. No reason to think that won't happen again. But, yeah, I mean, this is not surprising to me. I was kind of holding out to wait for any kind of official word, and a lot of other people were jumping to conclusions that things were going to close down pretty soon. But I do think that it speaks to that it is going to be a very massive change.
If you have to close the property.
Right.
Right.
And the fact that it took them this long to kind of figure out what they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds more like a palm style change than a, I don't know, SLS or what have you.
Well, you know, there's a couple of different schools of thought when it comes to whether or not you should stay open during a renovation. You know, people, I have friends that ask a lot of questions about the Palms of why it didn't just close down. You know, there's a tremendous amount of money that you could lose in closing a property down, and you lose money, mm-hmm. reputation, you lose a ton of momentum. I don't know for the Hard Rock. You know, they must be doing some significant changes to justify closing the property down, especially for a property that's been renovated a ton and is pretty mm-hmm. fresh.
Yeah, it's had especially the kind of the newer end where the newer parking garage is. I guess that would be the more western end of the property.
Yeah.
They've added a bunch of new restaurants in the last few years. They've added the Magic Mike show over there. So there is there, and they redid the Center Bar not too long ago, mm-hmm. which was a pretty big change.
Yeah,
so they've got, I think they have kind of some stuff there to work with. Good bones, I guess, let's say, in terms of not having to completely overhaul every single feature in the casino and around the property. But they also have a lot of inactive spaces. There's the Vanity nightclub space, which is, again, over on that newer wing that I just referred to. That is really only used for special events and sometimes becomes a nightlife venue for, like, big party weekends or whatever. But there's a lot of space to work with at this property, and it's not the most open property either. It's kind of like a labyrinth once you start walking around all these different kind of branches reaching out. So
that's true.
And I'm interested to see if that changes, if they really kind of knock down walls and approach it that way versus just replacing the existing venues.
A lot of that you mentioned, the maze-like quality, that's a result of a lot of the renovations that they've done over the years. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll wait until February 2020 to know, well, we may not even know then, but what's going to stay and what's going to go. There's so much in the Hard Rock that people are big fans of. The joint, for mm-hmm. one. And you close down the joint and not have it anymore. Vinyl's still a pretty good venue. Mm-hmm. And the Center Bar that you mentioned, that's kind of iconic, even though they redid it. It'll be interesting. I'm curious to know what they're going to do with a lot of that Hard Rock memorabilia up on the walls there.
Yeah.
If you could walk out of Hard Rock when it closes with one piece of memorabilia, mm-hmm. do you know what you'd take?
I don't know. I really like that big case of Beatles stuff, but I can't think of any single piece. I don't know. They got a lot of Prince stuff in there, too. I'm a big Prince fan.
Yeah.
Maybe one of those. Steal one of his little jackets and wear it around the house or something.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't fit. He's tiny.
They could hold an auction like a fortune. They could hold an auction and then pay for all their renovations by selling all
that. That is an extensive collection. Yeah. And, like, is it possible that, like, some of that stuff will stay with previous ownership or something like that? Maybe that's not part of the deal. I don't know.
Does it go back to the artist? Does Tommy Lee Jones get that leather jacket back, the one that he wore in Under Siege?
There's a Tommy Lee Jones jacket.
Tommy Lee Jones' leather jacket is hanging in the Hard Rock.
What is it doing in there?
Under Siege, he played a rock musician / terrorist. I mean, that's the Tommy Lee Jones style.
Wow.
Of course, I'm the only one that noticed those
things.
That's
a good... I think you are the only one that knows about that.
Because I'm the only one who would want it.
It's the first I've heard of
this. Me and Tommy Lee Jones. I want my jacket back.
I bet Steven Seagal would take it.
He would not fit in it. I'm sorry. We love Steven Seagal.
All right. What is taking over the Strip this week? Well, CinemaCon finishes up tomorrow at Caesar's Palace, also known as the National Association of Theater Owners Conference. It brings only about 5,000 attendees, but a whole bunch of movie stars
and
entertainment executives to the Strip this week. But the really big thing is the Academy of Country Music Awards on Sunday at MGM Grand Garden Arena, and how this is one of those annual events that really takes over the weekend in Las Vegas. It's got so many concerts and events on and off the Strip that are part of that the Academy's Party for a Cause program, which is a pretty cool fundraising effort, actually, for the charitable arm of the Academy, which is called Lifting Lives, and their whole focus is improving lives through the power of music. So there's a bunch of national charities that benefit from all of us in Las Vegas going and partying and hearing some country music this weekend.
Are you going to be covering the red carpet for that?
I don't know. There's so much going on this weekend. I'm having a hard time choosing.
You'll
which
be exhausted.
I'm going to do.
You'll be exhausted by Sunday from the Palms. And
I'm
Aerosmith.
Definitely going to Aerosmith and Chaos Saturday night, which is going to be bonkers by itself. It's insane that I'm going to do both of those things in one night. But I'm sure I won't be the only one.
No, we're all trying to make it. I don't know. There's an after party at On the Record after Aerosmith. I definitely want to stop by there. I mean, this is Saturday night. I'm going to be exhausted by Saturday anyway. You mentioned CinemaCon. All the big stars are here in town, and they're all doing Jimmy Kimmel's show this week. I'm going to swing by Jimmy Kimmel's Wednesday show. The guests, Kevin Hart, guest, Bill Hader from the show Barry.
I love Bill Hader.
I love Bill Hader. I love that show Barry. Marshmallow and Churches together doing this track, which I assume will be Here With Me. It's a collaboration they dropped last month. Mm-hmm.
That will be fun. You'll have to come back and tell us about your Jimmy Kimmel experience.
Well, did you catch the first night? He had a blast. He walked out there and he said, "How many locals do we have?" And there and the whole crowd erupted. And that's Zappos Theater, holds 7,000 people.
Huge.
And he played all the hits for locals. Hey, I went to Kenny Gwynn Jr. High School. I went to Clark High School, UNLV. This is my band leader, this is my pal from UNLV. Talks about work at KUNV. Just he knows where his bread is buttered.
Mm-hmm. Such a Vegas guy, Jimmy Kimmel. We talked about this on the show a little bit last week, but yes, that is also taking over Vegas this week, and you can watch Jimmy Kimmel's shows from Zappos Theater, Planet Hollywood, the rest of this week. Friday, he's going to have Celine, right?
Mm-hmm.
That should be a memorable event. Okay, my one big show this week is nothing at Chaos. It's not Aerosmith, and it doesn't have anything to do with country music. It has to be Thursday night, regular season home finale for the Vegas Golden Knights against Arizona at T-Mobile Arena. The Knights have one more road game Saturday against the Kings. And, of course, we know the Knights will play San Jose in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs with the schedule still to be determined at this moment. But everybody's going to show up Thursday, and it's going to be a ton of fun. For more weekend entertainment options, check out my Best Bets column this Friday and every Friday at Las Vegas Sun. .com. That's going to be it for this episode of the Sun on the Strip podcast. Feel free to listen to every episode of the Sun on the Strip on Apple Podcasts or at lasvegassun.com/podcasts. And while you're there, check out the Super Sports Pods for my colleagues at the Sun, all about the Golden Knights, as well as UNLV and high school sports in Las Vegas. And if you are one of those rare people that actually enjoys listening to me talk, please go to allthevegas.com to listen to my Las Vegas Weekly podcast with my co-host Mark Chinook, where we interview plenty of cool Vegas personalities. There's a new episode up right now with Las Vegas Aviators team president Don Logan, all about baseball and more Vegas sports. That's waiting for you right now, allthevegas.com. Thanks again, Jason, for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next week.